first they arrest you and throw you in jail. Tap all your phones and then jack up your bail, 'cause they're so in love they can't get you out of their mind. They're watching your house and they follow your car. They're tracking your movements wherever you are, 'cause they're so say. And you're suddenly charged with a whole lot of crimes, and you have to make court dates a whole lot of times. It's because they're in love. What else could it possibly be? It happens because they're in love with you, the way they're all.
And that was Carol Denny from her album, You Are Spending Too Much Money on Your Hair. The song, It's Not Police Surveillance, It's Love, one of her shortest songs. So, welcome to Bathroom Spears Broadsides at 101.1 FM, also freakradio.org. I'm Robert Norris, and we're supposed to be hitting you up for money because the station is in trouble. So send money to the station. Go to freakradio.org and write out a check or do some other kind of financial manipulation. You can give us a message at 427-4523, or you can mail us something at FRSC, Post Office Box 7507-95061. My apologizing for the panhandling on the air, but got any spare change? The station is having a budget problem, so if you want these fine shows to continue, particularly mine, send coins, dollars, and cashier's checks. Again, if you want to leave a message that you're interested in donating, you want to give your number or another way to contact you, 427-4523 is the off-air number. It's also the proper number for PSAs, public service announcements. If you want to have a question or you want to make a comment or you're interested in getting a show yourself, though the best way to do that is actually to go directly to the Freak Radio website, freakradio.org. So, you'll be hearing me periodically throughout the show like some sort of automaton commercial broadcaster babbling about wanting money. I try to ignore it, turn down the radio if you're getting bored with it, but we're supposed to do that in order to get you to loosen your pockets and all that sort of thing. So, I will try to make it as painless as possible by moving right along. So, I'm going to begin with, what am I going to begin with? Well, probably the best thing to begin with is the end of the Santa Cruz City Council meeting of last Tuesday. Not that much happened there. The Santa Cruz City Council meets, for those who don't know, oh, boy. It meets twice a month, usually the second and fourth Tuesdays of the month, except during the summer when they go on recess and during Christmas when they don't show up. The meeting on Tuesday, as I talked about on Sunday in my longer show, was a truncated or shortened meeting. Mayor Coonerty devised the agenda. I assume it was he who did it, though he did not actually chair the meeting when it actually came about, so that all the business of the city council meeting, which usually happens in two sessions, the 3 o'clock session and the 7 o'clock session, was crammed onto the 3 o'clock session. As if that were not bad enough, which allows and actually encourages the chair to decrease everybody's public comment time, they also follow a procedure hallowed by Councilmember Mike Rotkin, the granddaddy of cutting back public comment, of not allowing people to do the oral communications period until the end of the meeting. Oral communications is the one period of the Santa Cruz City Council meeting where you're actually allowed to talk about any subject you want that's not on the council agenda, which usually is everything else that's significant actually everything usually that's significant in our community, ranging from police misconduct to bureaucratic nonsense that's going on, discrimination against people, racism, profiteering, skyrocketing rents, lack of rent control, you name it, all the issues that the city council will not talk about, and even after the next election, I'm quite sure, will not talk about. You get to have your 2 minutes. Actually, it's 3 minutes during that period of time. It used to be 3 minutes. I'm sorry. It's now 2 minutes under Clampdown Coonerty, as I call our bookshop Santa Cruz. I'm a constitutional attorney, but I forgot about the Constitution lawyer, Mayor Ryan Coonerty. So anyway, at this last council meeting, there was oral communication had to wait until the very end of the meeting. And that, of course, wasn't at a particular time. There actually used to be a rule that the council or the mayor, past mayors, have said, well, it'll either be at 5 o'clock or the end of the council meeting, whichever comes sooner. But this one just said at the end of the meeting. So the meeting could have ended real early, in which case you would have had to been there at 4, or it could have gone real late, in which case you had to been there at 6. So very few people who are actually signed up for oral communications, and a number of us put together a petition to Mayor Matthews, actually Vice Mayor Matthews, Chair Matthews, she was chairing the meeting, Ryan Coonerty wasn't there, asking her to give the people who were at oral communications and couldn't stay at the beginning of the meeting a chance to speak then. She refused, and she kind of finessed it because Councilmember Madrigal wanted to give us a chance to speak, but he couldn't quite either find the words, the will, or the breath to say, I move that the oral communications period be allowed for those who can't be at the end of the meeting, be moved up to its usual time at the beginning of the meeting. And because he didn't make such a motion, the vice mayor, woman chairing the meeting, Cynthia Matthews, was able to just sort of blow him off, as so often happens with council member Tony Madrigal. Anyway, we eventually, some of us, got to oral communications, and there were some people who had come to the Drum Circle last week. That's a circle that meets every week outside the farmers market of drummers, which I'm not really a part. But when they started driving drummers away and police decided to clear the area using Coonerty's new law, the 15-minute parking lot panic law, which only allows you to be in a parking lot if you're parking a vehicle or car or walking directly through, and then only for 15 minutes if you're parking a vehicle or retrieving it, I became concerned, as I have been for some time since this law was passed, actually since it was first introduced, that the right of public assembly was being severely constricted, heavily burdened, or you might even say, in fact, truly say, eliminated in public parking lots, which take up about 10 square blocks of space if you consider the 20 to 30 public parking lots, including the four garages that have, you know, multi-story, that people like to be able to stop and chat in. You want to be able to read a book in your car. No more, not if you do it for 16 minutes. And if you don't have a car and you want to stop and talk to someone, that's completely illegal. So it's clearly a vast intrusion and violation on the right to privacy, on the right to use public spaces to engage in innocent behavior. And I've talked about this ad nauseum on the radio. But the only time that people have actually become aware of this is when the police have used it as part of their culture war with the downtown merchants and conservative members of the city staff to drive away groups of people they don't like who customarily gather in certain places. And, of course, the most long-standing of this of these groups is the Drum Circle that drums every Wednesday from 3:30 to 6:30 or 7 outside the downtown farmers market in Santa Cruz. And I played the tape of what happened last week, which essentially was a police assault on the group of people there. No, they didn't come in with batons and demand everyone leave. They attempted to kidnap Food Not Bomb's food server, Jack Ross, or Russ, sorry. Eventually he was arrested and now is charged with resisting arrest. And this was related somehow, I believe, to the fact that they had earlier attempted to further constrict the public space and remove areas where people were normally sitting by putting up this temporary green mesh around the trees, green plastic mesh. You see some of it as kind of orange mesh over by the farmer's market, where it's actually used to protect actual vegetation, supposedly, though I've often felt that it was done to kind of move people away from the edge of the farmer's market who are not specifically licensed, but who kind of hung out there and, you know, sold their jewelry, played a little music, maybe put up a political stand without the official, you know, imprint of the farmer's market's, you know, seal of approval. Anyway, I played some tape from last week of the near riot produced by the arrival of the police. Actually, the police have been heavily surveilling and tromping back and forth in that area, where there has been no criminal behavior except, of course, the criminal behavior of the police department and the city itself in trying to destroy the constitutional right of assembly there. Although, technically, everybody who stands around and talks in a parking lot is illegal, unless they can prove they're parking or retrieving a vehicle under the absurd, only in Santa Cruz, keep Santa Cruz repressive Coonerty regime that I have taken some lengths in the past to criticize, particularly for some particular ordinances they passed, and that was one of them. So, at the Tuesday City Council meeting, there were some folks, for those of you who heard the tape last week of police striking, there's no record of this happening. I got this report from Wes Modes afterward that he was struck on the leg, and they had to take him to the hospital. And this doesn't appear in the police report, but I frankly believe Mr. Modes when he says this. In fact, Sergeant Harms did acknowledge it when I talked to him at City Council on Tuesday. Sergeant Harms was the individual who has led the surveillance and quote so-called education campaign and the drum circle in which the police are fundamentally saying, go somewhere else. There have been complaints. We've had complaints of urine. We've had complaints of feces and complaints of needles. They always pull out these standard horror stories. We've had complaints of vegetation, and there's no real vegetation in the area. There's dusty area around the base of the trees. There's no other vegetation. In fact, the sidewalk between parking areas goes right through the tree area, which the police then mesh off, again, to discourage public assembly. That's really what it's all about. And that's why it so upsets me. So, I'm kind of jumping around because, first of all, because the issue kind of cranks me up and makes me a little, passionate and emotional. And I hope it does you, too, for those of you who are at the farmer's market or who have heard about the issue. And what's really happening here is essentially a bigoted, intolerant mindset is trying to go after a whole culture of people, a whole kind of gathering, essentially of lower-income people, of people of mixed races and genders, and who knows, probably gender, you know, sexual preferences for all I know, of mixed ages. And because it's not serving any clear commercial purpose in the minds of some of our brilliant merchant masters who are close to the police department and close to some council members like Council Member Coonerty, it's not revitalizing the downtown the way they want in terms of bringing them more money. Of course, in a depressed economy, you're going to see less and less money and more excuse to repress people. They want to eliminate the drum circle, and they're using this law to do it. You may hear that there are complaints of excessive noise and some people don't like the drumming. And that's certainly true. Some people don't like the drumming. Excessive noise? No. There's not been one citation I've been able to find issued to the drum circle or anyone around the drum circle around excessive noise. And believe me, if the police were given, had a legitimate probable cause to issue such a citation, I believe they would do so. They've shown they're more than happy to use other means to remove the drum circle, ranging from the parking lot panic law, the 15-minute law I talked about, to, can't you play somewhere else? We're having a meeting here with a social workers, so we're using this space, drummers, the ones that you'd use traditionally every year. We, the police, are using this space. Why can't they move their meeting of three or four people somewhere else? Well, because they're the police, and, you know, you're the public, and the public must always bow to the police, though we had thought that the police were supposed to be the servants of the community, paid by the community, to engage in public service and to protect the community, not to dominate the community, not to impose its cultural drug war agenda on the community, because that's another of the pretexts that's being used to go after and to create this spectacle in the mind of the public that there's some horrendous crime situation happening. And it really pisses me off that the Sentinel plays along with this. Why it should piss me off, I don't know. It's what the Sentinel does. And why it should piss me off that the police department is engaged in this is another mystery, because that's what they do too. But, you know, I continue to feel that upset that people who have armed lethal force and other people who have vast amounts of educational, communications options, like the only newspaper in town, really, goes after and so misrepresents a peaceful, regular public assembly and attempts to destroy it through casual use of falsification and lies. But I think this is beginning to come out. It's coming out mainly through groups like indiebay.org/Santa Cruz, Santa Cruz Indie Media. But even on the Sentinel's comment section itself, which usually involves a subset of about a dozen bigots and some curious folks and a few defenders of the rights of people and some folks who just wandered into the room. But there, it's becoming clear, I think, at least to a broader people, just because the drum circle is refusing to move, that the issue here is really a broader and deeper, more important issue about falsification by authorities, about buried police stats that don't exist. I say buried, it's because, I've made Public Records Act requests and I can't get much out of them. If there's such a huge crime wave, let's see it. Let's see the details on it. Anyway, at the city council meeting, and that's where I began this tirade about 10 minutes ago, there was two people, I think, maybe three, who signed this petition to Vice Mayor Matthew saying, can we speak? And most people left, but some of us spoke. And here is, if I got the right tape here, and hopefully I do, is what went down at oral communications or public comment at City Council on Tuesday, the day before the farmers market and the drum circle, and the 6 days after the attack with virtually, I don't know, it was the whole police force, but it was certainly 20 to 30 cops, with cops from other jurisdictions being called, because drummers were expressing their anger, some drummers, by drumming very loudly, very close to the police, when police had seized a Food Not Bombs food server, bodily. this is now being played in the papers as trying to take a person away from the police and resisting arrest. Those are things that are going to be worked out in court. But the real substantial reality of what is going on in that area is that police are engaging in provocative behavior, initially hoping to frighten people into leaving. Well, the sergeant will tell you just once the area cleaned up. They won't present you with any stats to indicate the area is dirtied and needs to be cleaned up, other than the kind of unsubstantiated, undocumented, I have to say to some extent, hysteria of some people. Though, there's some people who have made complaints that I believe are probably true. Yeah, people smoke marijuana there, what are we going to fall down dead? They may even sell marijuana there occasionally, is that? No, that marijuana is sold everywhere, and the fact that it is sold in a place like this at certain time when people are together is no great stretch of the imagination or unusual phenomenon. We have a caller. Hi, you're on Free Radio.
Oh, I just wanted to tell you that I on my radio you've gone off the air.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Bummer.
I don't know what happened. Your signal's not on.
Well, I appreciate you letting me know that, caller.
Okay.
Yeah, if you can, I guess try to get us on the internet at freakradio.org.
Okay.
Thanks for letting me know. Anything you want to say about this subject?
I noticed you were saying it was a mystery to you that you're upset about the police. I thought, it can't be a mystery to you. You probably would know why other, maybe to somebody else it might be a mystery.
Well, it's a mystery in the sense that, I mean, I should come to expect this kind of behavior. It shouldn't really upset me. I mean, I should notice it, you know. Do I expect the police to behave in a way that protects the constitutional rights of people who are poor in Santa Cruz? No. So why should I be upset in the sense that why should it be surprising to me?
Oh, I see.
But in a certain sense, it is.
It's okay to be. No, you should upset you. If, it should upset anybody if they're not doing their job.
Right. And, of course, well, they would say they are doing their job. They're enforcing Mayor Coonerty's laws, which allow them to go after a group of people claiming all kinds of things that don't really constitute a problem but are a basis for removing people from a public space.
Yeah.
I mean, the cover story is excessive noise, drug use, you know, poo-poo and pee-pee and all this kind of thing. The tool they're using is this law. But the reality is there's been no fundamental difference now. The drum circle's been for the last 10 years as it has been for the last few months, as that I'm aware of. And, you know, except maybe got a little louder when additional protesters came after police began harassing it and started, you know, swelling the drum circle.
Yeah. Well, I hope you get you back on.
Me too. I'm going to play a little music and see if I can figure out what's happening, caller.
Okay.
Thanks a lot, man.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye. Well, just have to see about this. Stay tuned. You're tuned to Free Radio, 101.1 FM, freakradio.org. I'm Robert, and this is Bathrop Spears Broadsides. Maybe. I'm not sure if we're on the air. We'll see.
Making
was Carol Denny. Don't try to tell me the news again from your spending too much money on your hair. Well, I got the confirmation from Uncle Dennis, whose show comes on next, that we are off the air but still streaming. So for all you lucky folks with computers, you get to hear this show, and those who don't, don't. Or else they get to go back and listen to the archive version. And we are archived. Huff Santa Cruz, HUFFSantaCruz.org, all one word, all small letters, HuffSantaCruz.org, will give you this show in about a day. So for those of you who... Well, for those of you who are hearing it now, it doesn't make any difference because you're hearing it. And for those of you who aren't hearing it, you're not hearing me, so it doesn't make any difference either. So it doesn't seem to make any difference. Whoa. Well, let's go to the city council meeting for those who want to view these archives, or I should say hear these archives. This is the oral communications, again, long postponed, makes it easier for them to get rid of people who they don't want to hear from, who don't have the patience, the time, or the resources to wait through an entire council meeting to talk. Particularly when and the council meeting is extended, or is all crammed under the afternoon agenda anyway, and is likely to be a long one. It only actually in the event was only 2 hours, but only 2 hours. 2 hours is a lot of time to some people. And a number of the people who wanted to talk, including Theodora Carey and other activists, were not able to do so. There was a call from Whitney, who put out a call online for people to come to the city council and protest. And I think Brent, Big Drum Brent, as I call him, the drummer who actually helped to restore people's spirits and helped to take back the drum circle space and restore the drum circle yesterday, did come down to city council trying to talk to city council members. But they, again, they denied people the right to speak at the beginning of the meeting. And people were not really willing to wait 2 hours to speak for 2 minutes, most of us. Some were. Here's Ed Davidson. He's talking, and he's talking about an issue, other issues than the drum circle, but they do concern the right to speak at city council and the amount of time you have there. These are issues that are important for a couple of reasons. Even though the city council may not listen to you, this does go out on community TV, and some people regularly listen to the city council meetings, so you are talking not merely to the city council, but to some people in the community. Of course, there probably are better places to address people through the media than the Santa Cruz City Council, and I'm hoping to find those better places. We could probably talk about that one, and that'd be a good and productive conversation. But here's Ed Davidson, longtime gadfly at city council, talking, and a few other folks who you'll probably recognize.
I'm Ed Davidson, and I have a few items. Did want to get a little off topic, but I am also concerned about the 2-minute limit on oral communications, especially when there's hardly anybody in the room, and 2 minutes on public's input into the meeting. I think it's wrong. 3 minutes is short enough, but it's long enough to make a point. And I also would point out that my objection to the limits on consent agenda is that these are notice public hearings, and the open meeting law specifically cannot exclude someone from speaking to a notice public hearing, and that's the reason that it's an objection. This kind of comes up in the context of what happened last year with Tony Madrigal, because there was, under what was noticed as a mayor's proclamation, there was a de facto public hearing in which council members and members of the public and the police department all were invited to speak to the item, which became a non-noticed public hearing. And that's illegal. And at the time, I was particularly upset because I would have been here if I had known that this was going to be available to speak in Tony's defense, because what he had said, he reported, something reported to him a year earlier, and you took big offense that it was saying that this was police racial profiling. He was accusing the police of racial profiling, and then in the following week, the police notice said that they were going to stop unwarranted stops of young Latinos in groups, which is essentially racial profiling. So what they were complaining about... Okay.
And the English translation of what Ed Davidson is saying is two things. First, he's complaining, and properly so, that not only is time shorter for this oral communication comment where you can talk about anything you want. It used to be for 3 minutes, now it's for 2 minutes. Cutting back your time by 50%. A third anyway. And then he also pointed out that there's this strange rule that Coonerty has now created, which says you can't talk about subjects that are on the consent agenda, which contains most of the financial appropriations in the city and most of the business of the city, and it's on the afternoon agenda, unless you get the permission of a council member to talk. Although you can talk for a total of 2 minutes to all 16 items at the same time, all shoved together, which is unlike any other city in California, possible exception of one. So it's a difficult situation. And while we're pondering that, let's have a brief musical break. We're still off the air, but we're not off our game, hopefully. We'll see what's cooking.
If a tree falls in the forest and you're not around to hear it, don't believe them when they tell you that it doesn't make a sound. Don't believe them when they tell you that you must be standing near it, and there's nothing there but silence if there's nobody around. If a tree falls in the forest, it is heard by generations, generations who are waiting for the work that's ours to do. If a tree falls in the forest, it is mourned by generations who are waiting for the justice to be won by me and you. A tree falls in the forest, or a poison kills a river, or a dam destroys a canyon, you can feel it in your soul. You will feel it like a heartbeat, you will feel it like an earthquake, you and all the generations of your ancestors will know. If a tree falls in the forest and you're not around to hear it, don't believe them when they tell you that you will not hear a thing. They will tell you you can't change it, and it does no good to speak out, and it does no good to sing. If a tree falls in the forest, it makes a sound. If a tree falls in the forest, it makes a sound. For the honor of those past, and for the ones who come behind us, we must stand up and be counted, we must speak out and be heard, for the sake of generations who are not here to remind us, every moment really matters, every song and every word. If a tree falls in the forest, it calls out to those who listen, to the ones whose hearts are open, to the ones whose hearts are free. If a tree falls in the forest, there's no one there to hear it, there are some who know the difference, there is you and there is me. If a tree falls in a forest, it makes a sound. If a tree falls in a forest, it makes a sound. Well, sometimes I get to thinking, how the hell we gonna change it? How the hell we gonna stop it? What the hell we gonna do? And I should have been a lawyer, or I should have been a preacher, or perhaps a politician with a word to give to you. If a tree falls in the forest and there's no one there to hear it, I've the strongest of suspicions, it's the heart that knows the way. If a tree falls in the forest, all you have to do is listen, and you'll know which way to go and know exactly what to say. If a tree falls in the forest, it makes a sound. If a tree falls in the forest,
And that was Carol Denny again from You Are Spending Too Much Money on Your Hair, the name of the song, If a Tree Falls. The sounds of laughter in the studio come from the redoubtable man about the parking lot number 4, Crow, who's in the studio here with Basic Dave. They've just arrived. They're guests, of course, to a non-existent audience. But hopefully people who are listening to this archived information will know that they're going to be coming back. Or they came back, maybe by this time, next Sunday. There's a Sunday show in the morning that runs from 9:30 to 1, which I encourage people to listen to on Sunday. And they'll be able to hear Crow and perhaps Basic Dave at that time. Well, Crow, welcome to Free Radio Santa Cruz.
Howdy.
Greetings. Now, I know last time I saw you, I arrived at the parking lot number 4. That's the Farmers Market Drum Circle parking lot. And we are interrupting our city council oral communications.
Yeah. Oh, sorry.
Yes, watch your step there. The oral communications area, which is a little boring for some, but, you know, I'm trying to be thorough in my documentation of the escapades of the
and
Santa Cruz city government.
And, you know, the city council should commend you for what you do.
Yeah, I should get a stipend for my work.
You should fire them all and run everything.
I will be the boss, yes. We'll see how Mayor Coonerty likes that one.
Yeah.
But in any case, I ran into you at the... You know, parking lot number 4, which is the parking lot next to the farmer's market, on Wednesday about 3:30, when I drove up to park my vehicle, you were there in a truck, and there was a bunch of green mesh fence around there. I guess people had some scoundrel had taken down the green mesh fence at the police. I should say some patriot had taken down the green mesh fence around the area where the drum circle normally does its drumming, perhaps because it blocked handicapped access through that area. There's a sort of a sidewalk area that is normally open, but some foolish planner, or should we say incautious police officer, or some city worker, for some strange reason, put up this green area that seemed designed to simply block the public roadway. And in essence, somebody was doing that, and someone else removed it as a public nuisance. Now, I heard you shouting, snitch, snitch, as I showed up. You were arrested by the police later, so I warned you beforehand. Anything you say, Sergeant Harms may be there with his notebook next to his computer, listening to this on archive. Nonetheless, you're here in the studio to say what?
Okay, first off, everybody in this community I love, even if I hate you, okay, but the cops, they don't hate. Okay, they're out there to do their job, and they're out there to protect my kids that are growing up in this community. Mm-hmm. Okay.
How many kids you got?
I got 4 kids, uh-huh. You know, and all of them are in junior lifeguard, okay? The things that we're doing, it's not about you're the bad guy, I'm the good guy, or I'm the bad guy and they're the good guy, or whatever that is. It's about our basic rights, our amendment rights, to freely assemble in public spaces, okay, and it shall not be abridged by no other law. How does it go?
Well,
I forgot. I'm getting kind of
the right to the right to petition bullshit. The government for redress of grievances.
Yeah.
To petition the government for redress of grievances shall not be abridged. I think is
yeah,
something
yeah.
to that effect.
Yeah,
that's the First Amendment of the federal Constitution. It's whether I think our constitutional. Confidence man.
Well, it was wrote
Mayor
a bunch of
Coonerty
bullshit,
doesn't
anyway.
Think that it applies to his law.
Yeah, well, that's everybody across the board, you know, because they're manipulating the laws. But I guess this is written by a bunch of rich white men back then, you know, that took a bunch of land from a whole bunch of other poor white men, and you know, so forth and so on,
and
yada yada. It's just a bunch of bullshit, anyway.
But I mean, nonetheless, the principle, regardless of the group, might still be a good principle for us to consider today.
Yeah.
I think it is, and therefore,
yes.
I think we should have the right
to assemble if we're peacefully assembled.
Right, and Drum Circle has done that week after week.
Yeah, week after week. You know, and
you're a drummer.
Yeah, I've drummed there many times. I've actually have gotten permits to play amplified music. I've gotten a ticket and arrested for playing my guitar without a permit. And I spent 4 days in county
at the at parking lot number 4.
Yeah, county jail for not paying the fine and getting a warrant and and went to jail for not, you know.
What playing. Was the fine you were fined for not for playing your guitar?
And it's like $295 or some shit like that.
Are you, now, let me understand this. This when did you get this citation? This ticket?
Well, a while ago.
Last year, something like that.
Yeah, it was.
Because
I can't remember anymore, man. You know, I stopped remembering things. Pretty.
Let me see if we can grab this call. Yeah, you're obviously been smoking too much dope here. Hey there, you're on free radio, hopefully.
Well, I can't hear it from my house if I am.
Now, the truth of the matter is that we are not broadcasting. The word from the masters of the
disaster
transmitter are that the transmitter is in trouble, so they're hoping to have it fixed soon.
The secret to get it to work is to ask for $700 billion.
Yes, I'm supposed to keep asking for money. So let me ask you for some money. Please send a check for $50.
No, $700 billion. That's the magic number.
$700 billion. Well, that's true. That $700 billion will be good. I'll contact Fuhrer Bush and see if we can get some action. In the meantime, you call Fuhrer Coonerty and see if we can get him to send some money.
Well, I'm glad to hear you speaking, because I was a little worried because you were talking about, you know, the seizing of this and that, and we're just about to go to tape when all of a sudden...
Yeah, I mean,
that shit happens.
It could be that we have a saboteur who does not want my golden words to filter out over the airwaves.
I've felt that many times.
Yeah, well, you know, I am, of course, the most important voice in Santa Cruz. I'm aware of that fact, but nonetheless.
We're walking around downtown.
So caller, I recognize your voice. Do you mind if I call you by your true name, or are we going to disguise ourselves?
Well, you can go with Mr. Abbott, but no, go ahead. I'm Gary.
All right. Well, Gary, I saw you lurking across the street at the farmer's market yesterday, perhaps tentatively wondering if the police were going to bust people on the sidewalks for breathing without a permit or whatever.
Well, I was nervous about approaching the area because the police have created an atmosphere of violence. So,
now, were you at the?
That would be me.
Were you at the market the week before? Caller Crow here is in the studio, in case you're wondering, who's interrupting my discussion.
Being an asshole.
No, I worked during the day, but I took a late lunch and wandered over, and I've been boycotting various downtown establishments that have been helping, you know, create the planner problems and the no people zones, and you know what I'm talking about.
The fence stuff area in front of New Leaf Market at night, and so.
So I don't shop there, and now I'm not going to shop at. Not that I've been a big shopper there, but I'm not going to shop at the farmer's market until they like take a stand on this stuff. Because
I stop shopping,
like,
period, and just go dumpster diving and go into garbage cans and eat food out of there.
And
it still looks pretty healthy.
although it's a little
weird, perhaps, but it's healthy nonetheless.
And I couldn't partake at the Food Not Bomb stuff because that was in the area. So I went somewhere else and got something and was standing there eating my late lunch, watching. And somebody came by and said, "Hey, could you watch my camera?"
This was yesterday, or
yeah. Uh-huh. And so I did that for a little while. And
what kind of a camera was this?
A video camera.
Yeah, I saw somebody with a video camera
yesterday
at the farmer's market on a tripod.
That was Channel 8. I actually
used
the camera to videotape Channel 8 arriving.
Huh, interesting. Well, there was a lot of videoing going on yesterday aside from me, which was good because...
very good.
Now maybe the police will lay off trying to get my video, which would be nice.
Well, it's also, you know, if Big Brother can't behave, somebody's got to watch Big Brother.
What's that?
If Big Brother can't behave, somebody's got to watch Big Brother.
Well, yeah, that's what I think really happened, and that's why, you know...
I like to watch.
I think police and city officials did not like the rise in, you know... in anger that they saw, and the determination of people to say, this is our public place. We're going to keep it public regardless of, you know, what... I guess there was a DA and somebody else in a vehicle nearby, a DA and...
They're the ones that chased me up Laurel.
And you were... Well, why don't you... Gary, is there more you want to say about this at this point, or...?
No, I'm just glad to hear that you aren't, you know, in cuffs being dragged off to the gulag.
No, that comes next week. Hopefully not.
Yeah, hopefully.
Thanks
not.
For calling in.
Cool.
Bye bye. So yeah, let's get back to what happened at the farmer's market yesterday. When I arrived and parked my multi-stickered vehicle, or I tried to actually, and I did eventually. You were in a truck and you were kind of pulling out.
Yeah, I was in my hippie van.
And what happened when you got to the farmer's market?
Well, I pulled up first off, and when I got there, the fence was down already. And there's drummers drumming.
I noticed that you're talking about the fence in the middle, because there were three areas.
The fence in the
three
middle.
Trees are fenced off. And
the
actually,
fence in the middle.
The last two Wednesdays, they've torn down fences in all three places.
Yeah.
But on this Wednesday,
next.
Only the one in the middle was torn down. It's interesting.
Yeah. Well, that was next. But the reason why is I think everybody realized that the DA was sitting there in his car. So there was except for me, the idiot.
So there was a female DA sitting there?
No, or? No. I found out that this woman has been working for the juvenile hall for a couple of years.
And probation officer.
Yeah, I guess. I guess he was looking for...
I think that's what maybe the Sentinel account
juvenile delinquents who are going to protest, and she'll take him in because she's part of that program.
I see.
I guess.
So she's trying to catch a few fish.
Yeah, exactly.
Fishing in troubled
waters.
Because
I guess they need the juvenile people there and the DA to see and record and watch and, you know, see who's doing what, which they did.
So what? So you how long were you there? You
I wasn't there long.
So what happened? Tell me what happened.
So anyway,
if you think you want to.
No, I do, because I told the cops the same thing. You know, I seen the fencing down and it looked like a hazard.
Right.
You know. And the stakes there, you know, people could run into them, and some were really loose, and they
the
could fall over and, you know.
The stakes you're referring to are the stakes that were
put
up
around.
Yeah,
metal stakes.
Metal stakes on which the green mesh fence was kind of put up around as a framework.
Well, I didn't see the mesh fence around it.
Yeah.
I seen it laying on the ground and on the sidewalk.
Uh-huh.
And it looked like a hazard to me.
Right.
You know, and the metal stakes, you know, I kind of like held them a couple of times. They're really loose. They could have fell down on a kid or something. If, you know, somebody was leaning on it, it could have fell down.
Right, so you were trying to be helpful
and
avert a liability suit against our city.
Yeah,
for heaven's sake, yes, indeed.
Yeah,
so
of course.
You're trying
to be
a public
individual.
And you're wondering
saying.
Why the DA didn't get out and do something about this himself or herself.
Oh, I'm not here just watching me.
You're just watching you. All those DAs.
They
don't want to get their hands
dirty. They like to watch.
Go ahead.
So anyway, I took the stakes that were loose, and I took them, and I threw them, you know, over towards my van, because I was going to recycle them, because I didn't know whose they were. They didn't say property of whoever. I didn't know where they came from.
Uh-huh.
Because every time I go to the drum circle, there's never anything like that there before.
Yeah, it seems like maybe vigilantes.
I don't know. I think it was aliens.
Yeah, it could. In any case, now, in fact, it was likely city employees, but... You know, no sign, do
it
not touch.
It could have been rednecks, Ku Klux Klan.
Perhaps it,
Obama supporters, I don't know.
Oh, yeah, there it is. Okay, well, so what happened then, Crow?
So anyway, I took the loose stakes and I threw them over to the man. You know, I seen the fencing there, it was a hazard, you know, and I took the fencing up. And, you know, I took the stakes and put them in my van because, you know, I was going to take them to a recycling place, you know, so they could be recycled into more stakes for later on.
Uh-huh.
You know, and I started putting the fencing in, and this woman says, hey, that's not yours. You can't take that. I go, you know what? You're right. That's not mine. And she goes, oh, I'm going to call the cops. You take that. I was like, you know what? You're right. I wasn't thinking. It's not mine. So I put the fencing. It was kind of halfway in my van and halfway out.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't really, like, gone. It wasn't really stolen just
mm-hmm.
yet,
right.
Judge. And
guilty. Go ahead.
Anyway, so I put the fence back over where the other fencing was and took the stakes out and put all the stakes over where the other fencing was. And I told my friend, hey, let's get out of here. This woman's going to call the cops on us. Uh-huh. And then I walked over and told everybody, hey, this woman's a snitch. Don't do anything. She's going to call the cops on you.
Uh-huh.
And I got in my van and immediately left. So I took off up Laurel, and then and I was driving up the road, and I heard, like, a siren, and I couldn't see a siren because I would have pulled over and make sure you're safely passed, because this is what you need to do
mm-hmm.
when you hear a siren.
Right.
But I looked behind me, and then I was in a little red light in a unmarked car that was coming up behind me, and I realized what was going on. So I pulled up, and I got up top of the hill, you know, where the high school is up there, and turned on the corner. And, you know, actually, the undercover officer was actually really nice.
So it was one man in a vehicle?
No, it was two guys. And I'm not going to say who they were because I don't really know their names. And I'm not going to say who they look like. You know, it's none of my business, to be quite honest.
Mm.
You know?
I don't know. I always think that what police do is the public's business. But
well, it is, you know. But, you know, they could be doing other undercover stuff. And, you know, if, like, it's going to save somebody's life...
Well,
you know,
or you might save someone from a life of marijuana addiction.
Yeah, I don't know. But it's not my business. And plus, they gave me a break. Trust me.
Okay. Uh-huh.
They were good.
Until the DA hears this broadcast.
Yeah, well, you know, the DA, whatever. I'll make a deal with them. Look, put me in county jail for like a weekend, and, you know, call it a deal.
So these two guys got out, and what did they say to you?
Well, it was the two guys, and it was the juvenile hall woman.
Oh, so the, she took up after you, the woman who was...
No, she was in a car with him.
Oh, so what happened was, when I'd come in, I saw a woman, I guess, and a man in a car. You were calling them a snitch. You got in your truck and from parking lot number 4 and drove away.
Yeah.
And I guess they took out.
I didn't see him until I was up past 7-Eleven.
Yeah, then I heard from another source that you had been stopped by the police.
Yeah.
So anyway, these the undercover officer, there were two cars that stopped you? Or?
No, it was one car. Okay. It was two undercovers and that woman from the juvenile hall.
Okay.
And, and then she realized she knew me and my kids and everything. And, I just was talking shop with them. You know, it was just like, hey, you know, this is what we do. I was protesting, blah, 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 you know, and, you know, I don't have the stakes in my van and, you know, and that guy was, you know, basically, he was pretty nice with me. I mean, he didn't have me, his guns drawn and me on the curb, humiliated.
It was just very boring stop, in other words.
Yeah, it was pretty boring.
It's not very radio worthy.
You know,
luckily, we're not on the radio.
I don't think I put off a character to a point where I'm, like, dangerous, I guess. I don't know.
All right, well, you certainly are energetic.
To be quite honest, I don't want my Santa Cruz police or undercover to feel that I'm a threat.
Sure.
I'm a person who believes in community, to be quite honest, even though I look like I'm a terrorist.
Well, I don't see.
I mean, but looks.
You don't
are
have a.
Deceiving,
you don't have a business suit on.
But you look
on.
Like a terrorist.
You don't have an FBI badge. Well, thank you. I'm more like an old hobo, I would say.
Yeah.
But that's another story. Now, so anyway, what was the outcome of this? How long did they talk to you for?
Well, I was talking with them, you know, and they.
How long did you talk for?
Well, I was talking with them because he had to call in the whole thing, and he said I was cooperative, which I was.
Right.
And I'm peaceful. You know, I don't have any guns. I don't have any weapons. I never will.
Yes,
I don't do that.
Crow, you were responsible for helping out homies for the homeless with getting them toilet facilities.
Yeah, toilet facility. Hey, you know,
that was
a
group
shit,
a year ago at City Hall that did a week long protest.
Yeah, everybody
against
poops,
the sleeping
right?
ban.
There's a little book about that.
What's
I read
that?
It to my kids.
What's that?
Everybody poops.
Everybody poops.
Yeah.
Well, but anyway, it's just some people exalted to the nature of a political campaign.
Oh, that's illegal.
Right. Well.
Well, you make it illegal by not providing services for it.
Well, yeah, there are no bathrooms at night.
Yeah, and make sure that they can't sleep from 11 to 8.
So how long did you guys chat at the?
So we chatted for like half an hour before the three Santa Cruz cops showed up.
And then what happened?
And then it was a whole other story. I had to tell them the whole thing. They took my pictures, but they were all cool too.
Who were they?
Cops.
Don't know their names.
I was going to bring the ticket to show it to you.
Sure.
That I had proof that I actually.
What are you charged with?
I stole a petty theft.
Petty theft.
Yeah.
And what is it that supposedly they caught you with?
Well, they didn't catch me with it, but they said that I took it, put it in my van, and took it out of my van and left it there.
Where did you pick it up from?
I picked it up out of the ground where it was loose from. That could be a danger to other people.
I see. Well, so that may be your defense when you go to court. You did it to avert a greater
evil. I'm just going to tell the guys, look, put me in jail for the weekend, because I don't want to go back and forth to court.
Yeah, I
hear
you.
So
how long did the police hold you?
I talked to them, and a couple of them knew me. One guy didn't know me. He was a young officer from 2 years. He was 2 years. The other guy, he's well-known. Actually, I seen him when I was walking up here. I waved to him. He's the one that actually gave him the ticket. He read my Miranda rights, so I actually got arrested.
Right. Well, you do what
you
right. I mean, now it's you're using an interesting approach, which it's not recommended for political activists, which is to sort of schmooze with the cops and. Everybody has their own approach, I guess.
Yeah,
yours.
I'm not a threat, and they're not a threat to me. I'm not doing.
Well,
anything.
They're a threat to you if you get convicted of misdemeanor,
well,
you can serve
I tell
up
you
a
what,
year
when
in jail.
They were when we were protesting the sitting ban, okay?
Yeah.
They were standing there in riot gear, and the cop across the way was saying, "Hey, Crow, how you doing, buddy?" And he's slamming his fucking nightstick in his hand. But the other week, he was saying hi to me and shaking my hand down on the corner.
Well, the question is, what's going to happen down the road when you face these charges? Is really the issue, though. So.
I go to jail, or they drop the charges.
Yeah, or right. That's the issue. So you're faced with a petty theft charge.
Yeah, I'm not worried.
Did you go to jail or just get written a ticket?
They didn't take me to jail. They said they were going to give me a break. Which was great. I thought that was great of him. For
it gives you an opportunity to come on the air and chat about the whole
thing. Of course. I cooperated 100%.
But you never got back to the farmer's market to talk about your experiences.
I did, because I wanted to talk to you first, because obviously I did my part.
Sure.
That I needed to do. And I got arrested, just like the woman who sat in the front of the bus and, you know, said that...
Front of the bus.
In front of
the bus.
Yeah, you got it all backwards.
They were at the back. I'm a backwards.
You know, it says, I'm not going to, you know, sit in the back anymore. Okay,
yeah.
So I said, well, you know, to me, these stakes are a danger, and this fence is laying on the ground. I don't know who took it down, and it's here. But I don't think it should be here, because the drummer should be here, and we should have the right to... You know, protest freely, drum freely, and assemble freely on this piece of ground that is public property.
And certainly have had for many, many years,
yeah.
And there's been no indication that there's any basis for changing that I've seen, other than the whims of certain bureaucrats and certain conservative.
Well, you know, you have the poor woman across the way who's selling her bread said, oh, it's a horrible sound, it's hurting my ears, and I can't. Talk to the people,
well,
yada, yada,
yeah,
yada.
Yeah, you know, I don't simply want to dismiss that because, you know, I mean, I don't know.
Maybe she needs a hearing aid.
Well, I don't know.
Maybe she should have put a sound wall up.
You mean earmuffs. And actually, they park these big white trucks.
That's a bunch of bullshit.
These big
that.
White trucks wrong here.
I mean, bottom
line. Well, I've talked to some of the folks, the merchants, and some of them don't like the drumming. I mean, it's true.
Some
they
of them
don't
like you either.
Yeah, well, many of them don't like
so
me.
So what are they going to do? Keep you out of the farmer's market?
Well,
no.
The idea about... Yeah, well, I don't think, though, that any of them have filed any formal complaints to the police that you're violating the law. The drummers, that is. And that's the point.
But they complain.
Well, complaining is fine. We all have a right to complain. This is America.
I've gotten chased down the street.
Everyone can and should complain. But the question is what you're complaining about illegal or violation of somebody's rights? And as far as I can see, 3 hours a week at the drum circle is not. Now, if everybody at the farmer's market, let's suppose this were, I don't know, a hospital right next door. I mean, there is a Planned Parenthood nearby, and that's been brought to my attention that maybe people from Planned Parenthood who, you know... Women who are trying to get advice as to what to do with their pregnancies one way or another.
It's soundproof up there.
You know,
I've been up there.
Yeah, is it?
Yeah.
So I haven't heard there have been any complaints.
Yeah.
What I'm saying, Crow, is that if there was a hospital next to it, and some people are unusually sensitive to sound. If there was a bunch of old people sleeping there, of course, we're talking about a downtown area that has a mixed series of uses. So... You know, I don't want to be callous to people of different views. But I also think that if you are going to complain, then you've got to have a public process of discussion. You send some people in and say, look, you know, I've got this problem, that problem.
You and I
people
know
from
this
the drum
is not
circle
how the law talk. Works.
But instead,
because people have complained about my school bus parked on a certain corner, the cop comes and say, look, I got a complaint, you got to go. Well, is their complaint reasonable?
Right. Is what you're doing unlawful?
Okay.
That's
is it what I'm doing unlawful? But the guy's going to give me a ticket because somebody complained.
What I found
and
was
tell me, and so I got to leave because of somebody's complaint, which I feel is unjust.
Yeah. Well, what I found was that the main basis for the complaints, both in the public mind and I think in fact, if there is a real complaint, is excessive noise. If it really is there, and if you ask the police for how many complaints there have been about excessive noise. For which they've written citations, so far the number is zero.
Well, exactly.
In the last few weeks. Now, I don't know, because the police recently sent me a notice that they had more public records available for me if I wanted to come and spend $5 to look at them.
My response
is going to be, I don't want to spend any money at all looking at them, but if I ask for copies, I'll pay for them. But last time I went to the police department to get public records... And I had a tape recorder with me because I wanted to document. I was told they wouldn't serve me.
Of course.
Even though they had told me they had the very
public
record that I requested. And I had brought in the very amount of money that they requested to pay for that public record. In this case, it was, yes, I know, but the audience doesn't. That's the reason we're not just talking to you. We're talking to the world out here.
Actually, you're more patient than I am about this crap, you know. Obviously, if you look at the camera and see what I did, I wasn't too patient about it.
Anyway,
from Channel 24 was videotaping me.
Yeah.
So hopefully I can be on their radio, their TV station and talk to the people about the situation because it needs to be talked about. I mean, it's become beyond ridiculous. I actually talked to a cop because I couldn't come down to the drum circle when they first started this crap. Okay, and I actually talked to the cop, Helms or somebody, like about
Harms.
Sergeant Harms. I mean, he's all right, guy. He's a little uptight, though, you know. But he's all right. You know, he does a good job of, you know, fucking making sure that, you know, people aren't killing themselves out in the street, you know. And, you know, I said, you know, why can't you guys just wait till the farmers markets close in the wintertime and deal with the new situation then? Instead of challenging this and
well,
making
I think
it.
You're wasting your breath talking to the police about these issues because
they're
following orders from somebody else.
I understand.
They are not
they are
there.
Still the people who are going to be arrested.
I mean, it's true that yeah, but they'll do it regardless of what you say.
I know, but you
but
know,
I mean, I do the same thing. I talk to Sergeant Harms all the time. In fact, I talked to him at the city council meeting, which I'm about to play here. And I'm about to shut you up and shut you down and get back to what I was doing before, Crow. Does your man here, your companion, want to say anything about this issue? Or?
But I do want to say, do want to say one thing. I was talking with the undercover agent about what the problem was at the farmer's market. And he says, well, one of the main things they were saying, because the drug dealing down there. Okay.
I've heard this so
yada yada.
Where are
okay.
the stats?
And then they're saying that it's a hazard that emergency vehicles can't get through because people standing.
I'm really tired of hearing all this.
Okay.
Know? Is there some
and
reason?
It's not me.
Do I have to hear this again?
Yes,
is there a
because
reason
it's
for
the cop that was talking to me.
Right. Well,
why he and he says
I know,
why
they have
and
a,
he says why are you doing this in a parking lot?
Yeah. This is the same tape that I hear from Sergeant Harms.
Yes.
And the answer to all this is
that's why
it's none of your fucking business. Wait a minute, unless there's a violation of the law happening here. And if you want to document a series of violations of the law that you are citing people for and taking them to court for and they have then been convicted of them, then I would say maybe you can document a real problem. Or alternately, if you want to come and have a community meeting about a problem you think exists, throw a meeting in the police community room, have some lemonade, we'll sit and talk about it. But don't go marching around and goose-stepping around the farmer's market, acting like you can do what you fucking want without any kind of public dialogue, discussion, or legal process. I mean, that's what Mayor Coonerty, the city staff, the city manager Dick Wilson, and all these cops are doing. That's my concern.
And it is my concern, and I'm 100% with you. I'm just not as articulate to say it as you are.
Well, you said it. You said it with your actions, which probably is more important.
Yeah, being an asshole over there.
Well, I think you raise the, you know, at the same time you raise, you know, you point out you are not trying to be, you know, hostile to the police force.
No.
You regard them as part of the community.
Of course.
You regard yourself as part of the. In fact, you feel like you're doing a public service.
And you are also.
Yeah, well,
the king of the world.
I'm the king. We know that. You may send your checks to Free Radio Santa Cruz. And actually, I'm not kidding you. This is another one of those money breaks. Don't write Robert Norris on the check. Write Free Radio Santa Cruz, because Free Radio is running out of money. We got a bunch
Please
of money.
Help.
We got a bunch of money after the station got raided by the FCC in 2004, and that money has essentially been depleted. So we need bucks. So send your bucks to Free Radio Santa Cruz, Post Office Box 7507-95061. All of you people who can't hear me. So I'm going to take a musical break, and thank you, Crow, and thank
All
you,
right,
Dave, Basic
Love
Dave,
you.
For coming
good
in.
Work, buddy.
All right, you take care of yourselves. We will continue this wild and crazy activity. Actually, rather than a musical break, we're going to get back to oral communications at the Santa Cruz Shitty Council. That's really the city council, by the way, but you see, I'm still a youth at heart. Here we go.
Hi, I'm Whitney Wild, and I'm here because I am embarrassed about what happened at last week's farmers market. It was embarrassing and a huge waste of taxpayer money to take 30 police officers to arrest two people in order to protect a piece of dirt. And I don't want to see that happen tomorrow. And I emailed you all this week three times, and I heard nothing except from one of you. And I am disappointed. I want to know what you're going to do so that it doesn't, it's escalated every week. And I want to know what you're going to do to stop that. What I'd like to ask you to do is immediately rescind the 15-minute parking rule until it can be rewritten and be a bit less ambiguous, because that's one of the rules being used in the parking lot. I would also like the City Council to facilitate a meeting of the community to try and deal with this on a person level as opposed to a police level. I would also like no more fencing around the tree, because those trees have very tender roots, and the act of, we're supposedly all worried about the drummers doing damage to the roots. Those stakes being driven in around the roots are not doing them any good. And the drummers have been there for 10 years, and the trees are still doing great. But I'm worried about putting stakes in there. Also, I would like not to spend another dime of a taxpayer's money to basically stop people from drumming. I think that's much more of a civil issue instead of a police issue. So I'd like to know, what are you guys going to do to stop it from escalating tomorrow?
Thanks. Just one second. And I will just, if you're not familiar with our proceedings, we don't get engaged in dialogues and public hearings and so forth. That oral communication is a time for members of the public to bring issues to us. But at this point, the conversation won't go further in terms of developing action plans. That's what oral communication works.
Before you sit down, just so that you and members of the public can be informed of the process, I'm sure that after the city attorney or perhaps the vice mayor can let you know what needs to happen for us to be able to rescind that 15-minute law in the parking lot that we designated. Can you do that, John, or?
Yeah, that's an ordinance. So it takes an ordinance to amend an ordinance or to repeal an ordinance. So you have to adopt the ordinance for publication, adopt it for final adoption, and we go into effect 30 days.
So, for example, you know, if one of the council members wanted to bring it on the next council agenda, we could be October 14th. Then have to introduce the first reading, and then for a second reading October 27th, and then 30 days after that. And it could be rescinded. That would be the process that would happen. But you would have to give folks on council to want to do that. And then, of course, you also, as citizens, have the referendum option as well. Just wanted to let you know.
Thank you.
And what's happening here is kind of... I'm faintly disgusted at what I hear coming from Councilmember Madrigal. What you heard was Whitney asking, what are you going to do, City Council, because we have a crisis situation of a near riot. And the City Council actually has all kinds of options other than Cynthia Matthews' statement. Well, this cannot be discussed now because it's an oral communications item, and we're at the end of the agenda, and we intentionally put oral communications at the end of the agenda so we wouldn't have to hear about it at the beginning, and most people who are in the audience who might have been sympathetic are now gone, and the meeting is almost over anyway. None of this is said, of course. But the City Council has all kinds of options. They can demand an FYI immediately on what's going on, based upon what they hear from an oral communications. What are the stats about the crime situation there? Who was injured? What's actually been happening? Sergeant Harms claims he was injured. He showed me a slight, scab or sore on one of his hands. He claimed he didn't go to the hospital, but he was scratched last week. I actually recorded that before the meeting. We had a brief conversation. So you can also, an emergency ordinance, as you'll hear me saying when I come up to the mic, can be introduced immediately by a council member. If Tony Madrigal had the balls to do it, instead he's posturing as though he's some sort of wise character who can advise people that somewhere down the road they can do an initiative or a referendum or try to get a council member to put it on the agenda. You know, instead of dealing with the substance of the concern, which is police out of control, essentially secret processes happening behind the city's back, going after public assemblies that essentially not only violate basic constitutional rights, not only are a cultural attack on poor people and people of color and folks who are drummers and people who use that whole drum circle social gathering, but also subject the city, that threaten the peace of the city. They, when the police engage in these kinds of behaviors, they threaten to provoke a riot downtown. We've seen riots downtown provoked by the police before. New Year's Eve 1993-94 had then, I guess she was a lieutenant, Patty Cipone, maybe she was a sergeant even at those days, trying to drive away people early from the music at the town clock at 12:10, though the clock didn't close until 1 there. And she started, she either ordered the police to use, or she oversaw the police using billy clubs to drive people away, and they ran downtown and started smashing windows. They were so pissed at what the police did. You had a similar situation created by the police later that year in May when the police decided they were going to enforce against Food Not Bombs the Elder Coonerty's sitting ban law, which makes it illegal to sit on the sidewalk. In those days, it was an even broader ban passed by Bookshop Santa Cruz owner Neil Coonerty, Ryan Coonerty's father, who's now a supervisor, as well as with the support of Matthews, who's still hanging around, one of the recycled council people, and, of course, Mike Rotkin, and a bunch of other council members who should have known better. What happened there was the police started arresting people for sitting, and they provoked a riot. They actually created, they rioted themselves. They smashed one woman, causing her to miscarry. They smashed a man, Jason, broke his ribs for nothing, because they've been told to guard a triangular piece of sidewalk, to occupy it, to show their power. Now the police have gotten a little smarter since then. They aren't doing that as much. But they're still in a position of nearly provoking a riot, and the city council is in the position of, in essence, doing nothing about it, at least not addressing the issue at all. And Councilmember Madrigal, who should be the first to be concerned about the police, I mean, after all, he's leading the community dialogue on racism and violence and police misconduct and so forth and so on. He's the guy that the police department stood up and wanted to fire because he mentioned the possibility of racial profiling when he opposed the triple fine zones at Halloween last year. Does he do anything substantive about this? Does he raise the issue in a meaningful way? No. Instead, he lectures us on the rights that they have to do initiative in a referendum. He did show up at the farmers market and a drum circle area after the police massive overreaction. Well, the police created a near riot, and then he shows up and he looked around, walked around a little and left, I'm told. I didn't see him, as did Ed Porter. But at the city council meeting itself, you know, the legislative gathering of the community, the place where people are supposed to be able to express their views and deal with current political issues, did he say diddly squat about the substantive issue? No, not a damn word. Now you're going to hear me talking about the issue, and I only have 2 minutes to talk about it there, so I don't say much. But this is what I say.
Okay.
Okay. Other public comments.
Actually, that's not true. This council can act with an emergency resolution. Any member of the council can bring it up. You need a 5-2 vote. You can take action to direct the city manager, to direct the police department, to resume the policy of peaceful coexistence with the drum circle that was used between January and September of this year until, for some inexplicable reason, not backed up by any police stats or documentation that I saw, smirks notwithstanding from certain council members who showed up at the thing afterward. I'd like to see some documentation. If Councilmember Porter has some, I'd like to see it. Perhaps Councilmember Robinson. This stuff happens behind closed doors. But then you have 30 cops, you have people injured, you have people enraged, and then you're going to have a similar situation tomorrow where people are going to try to drum peacefully, try to be there peacefully, and you will have poor Sergeant Harmser, who I like personally, put in the position of essentially harassing a peaceful assembly on behalf of the Coonerty 15-minute law. Now, you can change it today. Let's not kid around. I don't have any delusion that you will. You obviously think it's a fine law, some of you don't. I understand some of you voted against it. But even with that law in effect, there was no enforcement of that particular law while it was being enforced elsewhere. It wasn't being enforced in that parking lot, and there was no record of crime in that parking lot. And I talked to the members of the farmers market closest to that. I interviewed them. I played those interviews on free radio. No one asked for the police, except possibly some pals, a certain conservative members of the city council. And I think you owe it to the community to do something today about it, either directly or else behind the scenes. Anyway, that pretty much is what I wanted to say. So you do have the opportunity to do something. But since the community really is the group that will do something, I urge them to come out tomorrow at 3:30 and witness what's going on and what the city council is or isn't doing and what the police department is getting paid to do. Thank you.
And those were comments made at the end of the Santa Cruz City Council meeting 2 days ago by the two of us who had the hardest butts in the room who sat through the entire council meeting. We have a caller. Hey there, caller. You're on the net, and maybe you're on the air.
Oh, hi. What happened? Did you guys get shut down? It's Madison. I was wondering. I don't hear you on the air.
Madison,
that's why
we're looking for a large check from you. This is I'm supposed to be broadcasting endless appeals
for money. I'm looking for a large check from anybody. Anybody want to design a garden? Call me. We're award winning.
Well, no, no. This is the radio's pitch, not your pitch. So you got to get
us
money.
Well, I got to get a check for them to get a check for you. Heroin dealers don't come and bother our street. We're tired of it.
Yeah.
Do it at your house.
Okay.
So,
and any
else? I saw you on the drum circle.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Well, there are a lot of people there.
Circle people. I didn't read it yet. When is Ralph Nader coming?
I think Ralph is coming on Monday. That's the plan. He's going to be there at the Civic on Monday at 7:30. Single-payer health care, no offshore drilling, reverse U.S. policy in the Middle West, Middle East, corporate crackdown on corporate crime.
So when is McCain coming?
You will have to arrange for McCain, I think.
Don't the vets schedule him?
I haven't scheduled Big John, and frankly, I'm more concerned about our local people and getting them out of office than with bothering with these national hacks.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. What's going on with that? I went down there. If they change a meeting, aren't they supposed to post it? Because it said 7 o'clock and it was wrong. And there was a bunch of kids there that were supposed to do their papers, and the city council wasn't there on
Tuesday
night.
It's posted online, but I don't know. I mean, I presume that they've actually posted on a little, you know, a little board outside the city council. They actually are.
Wasn't there. I went there twice and looked, and it was.
Yeah, they're not very good at that. I mean, if you want, you can get on a city council email list that will will send you the agenda 3 days in advance, or you can go online to their website. But yeah, they don't really, because they don't give a shit what the public thinks unless you are a very particular part of the public or have a lot of people behind you, or, you know, the situation is on the edge of a near riot.
Told the kid to write your paper on the fact that I believe it's illegal for them not to post before the meeting when they have a meeting.
They probably did post it, Madison. They just posted it in a place that you couldn't see it.
It was not there. It was not there, Robert. It was not there. The kids were looking. We were all looking.
Well, that's interesting then. You know, what you needed to do then was take a picture of that and, you know, bring it up. I think it's, I mean, I don't deny that's quite possible, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry we're not broadcasting today. This is just for archival purposes, but hopefully we'll be back on the air soon.
What happened?
Don't know. We're streaming. You know, we need money for equipment.
The Navy hit you with some sound, like they're hitting the rest
I'm
of the
sorry?
I'm sure. I said that the Navy hit you with sound to knock you out, or the FBI. I'm sure they are.
Has to do with, you know, inadequate funding. So whip out your checkbook and send us a $10 check or something. That's my advice.
I'll see what I can do. Maybe I'll give you a dollar if you can learn them all.
I appreciate your calling in.
All right.
If you have
talk
any announcements or upcoming news, let me know.
Yeah, I don't. Thanks. Bye.
Bye-bye. That was our mad woman, Madison, who's got more sanity sometimes than the rest of us, and sometimes less, in my view. Anyway, you're tuned to Free Radio, which is not broadcasting right now as far as I know. I think we're streaming at freakradio.org and archiving at huffsantacruz.org. At least this show is, in case you want to hear it. You may be actually listening to it now at that very point. Let's take a breather with another number. How about the North County Jail? Well, I don't like that song much. Well, I'll try You're Spending Too Much Money on Your Hair. That's the title song in this album. I'm having a little problem with that one, too. Let me see if I can get something that really gets me rolling here. Let's see. Well, this is one which I'm sure many people who listen to the show have heard before, but I like it. Actually, nope. Well, yeah. Let's try this one. See how this one goes. This is Ann Feeney. It's called My Feet Are Tired.
My feet are tired. My feet are tired. Oh, my feet are tired, but my soul is rested. My feet are tired. My feet are tired. My feet are tired, but my soul is rested. 1955, that was a lifetime ago. Remember, I like Ike. Remember Jim Crow. Montgomery, Alabama, sleepy southern town. That woman started something when she sat down. My feet are tired. My feet are tired. My feet are tired, but my soul is rested. My feet are tired.
Feeney, My Feet Are Tired. On the line with us is our next broadcaster man, Uncle Dennis, but he's got some news for us, perhaps. Hey, Uncle Dennis.
Well, I've got good news and bad news for our free radio listeners. The good news is that if you're listening to this on 101.1 is that we're back on the air. The bad news is that our backup power supply for the transmitter died this afternoon, and it's going to cost us at least $150 to replace it, money that we don't have right now. We're back on the air, but if the power goes out, we'll go out with the power. Normally, we can stay on the air for at least 4 hours with our backup power supply, but we don't have that anymore, and we don't have the money to replace it. So we need donations. When we have equipment failures, we need money in the bank to fix these things, and we just don't have it right now. So if folks could donate and keep donating, we really would like donations on a monthly basis. If folks could donate $5, $10, $15, $20, whatever they think they can afford on a monthly basis, and do that each and every month, we'll have enough money to handle emergencies like this. But we're back on the air, and we'll keep doing what we're doing because we've been at it since 1995, and we ain't quitting now.
Well, Dennis, how can people, where should they send their money to? P.O. Box 7507, 95061?
That's correct, Robert. Or they could go to our webpage at www.freakradio and make a PayPal donation there.
In the meantime, are we surviving off emergency power, or we're back on the normal grid?
We're back on the normal grid, but we don't have a backup in case that grid goes down. We're entirely at the whim of PG&E.
Huh.
So when they go down, we go down. Like I say, we normally have a backup power supply that keeps us on the air for 4 or 5 hours.
Which really, you know, I mean, we've also served as an emergency station in some crisis, too. We're a community station, so it's a good investment to kick down bucks to keep us on the air, in spite of however cranky you may think some of the broadcasters are, Uncle Dennis.
Well, we pride ourselves in cranky broadcasters.
For sure. But
and now if we could just get our listeners cranked up to support us.
Hear, hear. So, again, send your bucks to P.O. Box 7507, 95061, or freakradio.org us up.
See you, Robert.
Thanks, Dennis.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Dennis should be coming in about half an hour with From the Cream to the Dregs. You are tuned to 101.1 FM, freakradio.org. I'm Robert Norris. Name of the show, Bathrobe Spears Broadsides. My apologies that we were off the air. It's actually not my fault. I'm not sure what I'm apologizing, but it is... It's too bad that we were off the air. I'm going to play a little bit more music, and then we're going to hear some tape and discussion of the farmer's market. I invite people to call in and talk about not the farmer's market, but the restoration of public space and the drum circle, which happened yesterday. Again, actually, for the last 3 weeks running, we've restored the public space. You, I, and the rest of the community have come together and said no thank you to Mayor Coonerty's police, Mayor Coonerty's laws, and Mayor Coonerty's repressive policies down there. I think we need to say no to Mayor Coonerty, too, at the next election, but that is up to you voters out there. In the meantime, we have to resume and continue to restore the right to access public spaces, not to mention public records and public meetings. But it's certainly a good start, what we did yesterday at Farmers Market. And it's going to be, you can see by some of the photos that are posted on IndieBay.org, compliments of Bradley and others, that it's a very positive thing is being restored here, in spite of all the fear and smear stories spread by the Sentinel and certain city officials, Coonerty and others. We are really talking about a positive cultural event that happens every week, a diverse cultural event, one which some people may not like, and that's their right. But, you know, do I break into the Elks Club and their picnics? I do not. So I think, you know, we need to show some mutual tolerance. And we also need to understand that because certain basic, powerful, forceful, even lethal organizations like the police force are not showing tolerance, or at least they've shown the tendency not to do that the last few weeks. Yesterday was an exception to that. And I'm glad. I hope it continues. But, hey, I don't have no indication it is. There's been no clear statement of policy or change, just the usual double talk from Captain Clark, which you can read in the Sentinel and in the Metro. in the absence of any real assurances and any real changes, the community has to be its own police force. It has to police the police. It has to make sure that the politicians don't, in order to cater to a particular interest group, close down public spaces, which is what exactly what Coonerty has done with all the parking lots and garages with his law, his 15-minute law, but not parking lot number 4 next to the farmer's market, because that's the lot that the people have taken back on Wednesdays anyway, and I'm glad they have. Here's a little bit of music and then some more audio from the farmer's market / drum circle area.
I've been working at the mill since 1969. Shut it down, left town. Now it's the unemployment line. Too much monkey business. Too much monkey business. Too much monkey business for me to be involved in. Slinging greasy burgers, kitchen's 99 degrees. Scrub the floor, wash that door. May I take your order, please? Ah, too much monkey business. Too much monkey business. Too much monkey business for me to be involved in. Yonder comes a salesman, thinks he's got me on the rope. Says the secret to enlightenment is vitamins and soap. Ah, too much monkey business. Too much monkey business. Too much monkey business. Need to be involved in. Well, I got my education, had to borrow 30 grand. Now no one wants my resume.
Supply exceeds demand.
Got a little sweetie, thinks I ought to change my name. Dirty clothes, dirty house, screaming kids. Ah! Too much monkey business.
Too much monkey business.
Too much monkey business for me to be involved in.
And back to some of the actual Santa Cruz events. This is tape from the drum circle from a week ago. And it's actually, it's interesting, you might say, why play a week ago when we got yesterday? Mainly because the events and this particular period of time were so similar. On both occasions, though the police came in force to kidnap two people, Wes Modes and Jack Russ, on the 17th. Drummers came back and continued to play, and people continued to dance and occupy the area and enjoy themselves and have resume their public assembly in spite of the police intrusion and illegalities. Illegalities might be the wrong word. It might be legal but unconstitutional, or constitutional but wrong. But in any case, people restored the public space, and they did that again yesterday. And the same kind of spirit prevailed, and we're going to hear some of that. This is from the 17th.
And we want more accurate information from you. We'll surely seek you out.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, keep the drum circle alive. Let's turn out.
It's alive.
Let's Look turn out. Everyone needs to show up. Even if you don't feel like you identify with the people, you don't like the rhythms, it's an important activity that must be defended and maintained. Just with our solidarity, just by being present, is very important. Thank you.
I couldn't agree more.
Okay, well, we're talking with... you want to make an announcement, yeah?
Yeah.
What is your announcement?
Next week, the drum circle is moving to the clock tower at 3 o'clock.
And tell us who you are for those who don't know.
Dharmananda.
Okay. So that's the word from... and was there like a vote on this, or people just kind of consensed on it? How long ago did they make this decision?
Just earlier this afternoon. We all decided to do that because there's too many people complaining about our rhythms not being together, and people don't know how to play. It's more like noise than it is music. There were a lot of negative comments on the Sentinel front page on the internet last Thursday. But even neighbors complaining.
Because after all this energy was expended to take back the drum circle here, I'm wondering if that's the general opinion now by people, you know.
I believe it is.
Okay, well, I'll go ask them too, and I'll pass that on to Free Radio people.
Okay, yeah. the article in the Sentinel last week on the internet, there were a lot of negative comments from the people here, also people that used to come to Farmers Market won't come here anymore.
I just talked every single booth along this, and none of them wanted the police to move you away. Some of them said it was a little loud.
Yeah.
But I mean, nobody expressed a lot of hostility about it that I could see.
Well, we still don't want to be hassled by the police. And,
again, we've been talking with
Dharmananda.
Thank you, Dharmananda. So Ed Porter has shown up and is talking to Dave the Blade. Hey, Dave.
Hey, hey. Your insatiable appetite for attention.
Actually, a city. It's a city council member present, which I'm always glad to see.
Are you going to butt in our conversation
actually,
with I ask
you that? No, I'm not. You're in public. Keep talking to him. Ed, good to see you here.
Robert, I want to thank you for being a community hero and always being here when something is happening. It's just so amazing that over the last 25 years, you're always there. Thanks very much.
Well, Ed, it's good to see you here for once. I'm pleased to see you here. You support the... I know you oppose this public assembly law. Are you interested in seeing it rescinded?
I'm just looking at what's happening.
Okay, if you have any further comments, though, we'd love to hear them from you.
I think you'll provide all the comments we need. I'm sure you always do.
No, it's you're a city council member, Ed. I mean, you're a man who can actually change policy.
Good God, I'd forgotten that.
Well, the rest of us have too, given your silence on this issue. But hopefully you'll change.
Well, thank you, Robert, for breaking the silence. You're such a good guy.
We want you to break the silence, Ed. And thank you for coming here. I do mean that.
That was Councilmember Ed Porter, one of the two council members who, the only one I saw actually, who showed up on September 17th. I didn't see anybody yesterday, September 24th, at the Drum Circle. And Porter, I don't know. I have a problem personally with Porter, so I don't want my personal views to bias. Well, I want to admit my bias so I can actually get past it. But Porter was the one who voted against opening up the San Lorenzo Park for the Wham Fest on Saturday, and then came back with his, we'll only open up one tenth's worth of place. By the way, callers, please call in 427-3772. I hear you, and I am going to pick you up, but I have to kind of finish my thoughts and round them up in that respect, or round them out. I think it's good that council members showed up to see what was happening. I think I'm correct in saying Porter voted against the parking lot law, but again, he was very circumspect in everything he said. You get no new information. Porter is the guy who gave us the much worsened downtown ordinances in 2002. He's leaving office this year. I'm not going to miss him, although in some respects he does do some positive things at different points, but generally he's been afraid to come on free radio. He abusively arrested me personally for attending a meeting and refusing to turn off my tape recorder when it was a public meeting of a city council subgroup concerned with street performers in 2002. He's never apologized for that, taken any responsibility for it. And I hearken back to past things because I guess because I remember them and because I think they still bear on current behavior. Anyway, let's get back to the Drum Circle and some more interviews. And again, these are interviews from the 17th, a week ago Wednesday.
Suzanne, you're confirming that next week you'll be going to the clock tower?
Yes, and so will Food Not Bombs.
And actually, what happened was there were two drum circles yesterday, one at the clock tower and one at the farmer's market, or near the farmer's market in parking lot number 4, actually separated from the farmer's market by some huge trucks that kind of baffled the sound or buffered the sound. We have a caller. Hi, you're on free radio with Robert.
Hey, Robert, this is John Tilking.
Hey, John, what's up?
I just wanted to mention that I did actually see Tony Madrigal there yesterday.
Uh-huh, did you?
He was not necessarily at the Drum Circle. He was over there at the Farmer's Market, about a block or so up the street.
Well, I know that I thought you were giving away some flyers announcing the next week there was going to be on October 1st.
I thought it was this week I was announcing.
Oh, that's right. The flyer was for this week. I've cooked up a couple of flyers. I'm again inviting people to come next week, October 1st.
Yeah, my travel budget is very limited. It's possible I may get a ride over there next week.
I'm not talking about you, John. I'm talking about anybody else listening to this broadcast. You actually are calling from out of city, right?
Yeah, I'm calling from San Jose.
Do you have any reports from San Jose? I mean, are there drum circles over there? Or?
There was a little rally in front of the Martin Luther King Library at San Jose State University today complaining about the bailout.
Oh, the $700 billion bailout.
The $700 billion bailout that's going to add 10% to our total national debt.
You know, I tried to raise the issue. Sorry, go ahead.
And there were a couple people there complaining about the protesters, just like they do at the farmers market, you know, complaining about the loudness of the noise, trying to get the San Jose State police to enforce their no amplified sound rules. Because apparently, although San Jose City allows some forms of amplified sound, apparently San Jose State does not. And we're technically on San Jose State property, so.
So what happened? Was somebody with a loudspeaker was speaking up, or?
Well, yeah, we had a couple of megaphones, and we ended up standing really close to the street and using them anyway, and the cops didn't seem to hassle us too much.
Maybe they don't like the $700 billion bailout.
What was that?
Maybe they don't like the bailout, you know?
Yeah, I know. It's kind of a ripoff. I mean, $2,000. I can't afford to spend another $2,000 right now to bail people out.
You know, I talked to...
They bailed me out.
Right. I talked to, you know, Sergeant Harms yesterday, the day before yesterday at City Council, and he didn't seem too happy with the $700 billion bailout, although we didn't talk about it in detail. Anyway, thanks for your call. Anything else you want to say?
Well, just keep on drumming. That's all I can say.
Keep on drumming and keep on coming. Yeah, you too. Keep on keeping us advised of what's going on in San Jose, and thanks for letting us know.
All right,
man. Bye-bye. That's a Dangerous John Teal King, who was a supporter of the New Trial for Mumia campaign, as an opponent of the sleeping ban, a supporter of the rights of poor and indigent people, and here in Santa Cruz when he was here, and he hasn't forgotten about Santa Cruz. He still keeps his eye on what's happening. He was at the drum circle yesterday, although Tony Madrigal, I'm not sure, was. A lot of these people, they will go to the respectable farmers market, but they don't want to walk, you know, into the scruffy section of the farmers, I should say, the drum circle. Anyway, here's more tape from the 17th of September. And I wanted to remind you that the two drum circles, eventually what happened was that the drummers were anxious about police coming back yesterday. And so many of them did go to the town clock. But there was such a draw to the idea that there was a right for people to be at the drum circle near the farmer's market. It was a traditional place where people were. Some people were having the courage to risk more harassment by police, particularly Big Drum Brent, who set his drum down in the forbidden zone where the drummers were, and there was this mesh. There had been a mesh fence around it, but persons unknown, and at least unknown to me, and I can say that honestly, took down the fence again for the third time running, sort of trying to send a message, you know, Earth to City Hall, stop trying to fence off public areas. It doesn't work. It creates hostility. It wastes resources. It also violates the Constitution. But, you know, are they going to get the message? Probably not. We're probably going to have to keep going back there again and again, although you never can tell. Maybe there will be a more sensible current or a wind will blow. Or let's say a sneakier wind, so they'll come back and harass people when there aren't so many people around, which is what they've been doing in the last few months anyway. There hasn't been they do use the parking lot panic law, as I call it, to drive people away from public spaces in an absolutely unacceptable way. But if there aren't a lot of people like drummers around or people supporting them, they can get away with this. They can scare people off. That's what the police are good at, is scaring people away. That's not a good way to run a city, is scaring people. Regardless of what the Downtown Association may tell you or Lynn Robinson may say or whatever. Getting back to the interviews of September 17th.
Food Not Bombs will also be at the clock tower.
Okay, and that'll be at what time?
3 o'clock.
Hello. David Derrick speaking again. The police ran off with two victims from the drum circle. It seems as though they had a picture of the guy on the Sentinel, and so there it was. They had their man in the photo that they wanted, and they got him. Thank you.
talking with Ralph Myberg, notorious activist and retired scoundrel. What do you make of the farmers market in the drummer's circle here?
I love the farmers market. I brought guests into town. They love the drumming and the whole scene here. And it's much ado about nothing. People having fun, which is totally their right, and they should continue to have that right. It's a great place to come. Everyone knows that.
Thank you, man.
Well, it's, gosh, Friday evening, about 5 after 11, in front of closed Skate Works. And it looks like the scene from New Leaf has moved to the bench in front of the still open cold water creamery. Or could be greenery. We got little pooches carefully ensconced in a baby carriage. We have that famous musician and man about Santa Cruz, JP, on guitar, and of course Suzanne on drums. And it's a mellow evening considering I see several ordinances being broken and luckily no police officers enforcing any of the ordinances. It's illegal, you see, to drum while sitting on a bench. But otherwise, here's a man sitting on this drum, which makes it illegal to be within 4 feet of a bench while seated. Or is it 8 feet or 6 feet? I can never remember.
Can you get this on tape?
I'm getting it all on tape, man.
This is J.P. Freeman.
Hey, J.P.
Signing on.
Signing on with the beer of the evening. I'm okay.
I'm still malt pop.
Ah, yes. What a pop. I see no police officers. It looks pretty mellow.
What we're seeing here, what we're hearing here is drumming on Pacific Avenue on Friday night, which has happened at different spots. It happened, I think, at in front of the Cold Stone Creamery near the bench there. And smaller drum circle, of course, than the larger drum circle at the farmer's market. Giving you a taste of what happens downtown, as at least on those occasions when I'm happen to be passing by.
Yeah. They seem to be on their best behavior.
You have a new hat or a nice looking hat anyway?
Yeah. I'm working out the whole flip.
Don't forget your sunglasses, however.
Oh, well, I did.
How long have you guys been drumming and strumming here?
Tonight? Forever.
Tonight?
Oh, 4 hours.
No hassles?
No hassles.
No complaints?
No complaints.
No tips?
No.
A few tips.
Fine.
Now, I see a little display device, and you are...
That's for me.
Well, I'm going to add something to the display.
I got some tips, like get more practice, and maybe you should...
You got some real tips.
Yeah.
Have I seen what?
Have you seen the vegetation restoration that's going on down along the levee here on the San Lorenzo River?
No, I saw workers cleaning up what they called debris and what others called homeless camps, and some said were both, about 2 or 3 weeks ago.
Well, I saw bulldozers and chainsaws and a lot of big trucks doing nothing but tearing up vegetation, otherwise thrashing people's belongings and giving them no choice.
When was this?
It's on the very, my understanding, very protected San Lorenzo River.
When?
With the threatened endangered steelhead salmon and the longhorned elderberry beetle.
Today or yesterday? Or
this has been ongoing for the last 3 weeks. And I believe they're not done as of today, the, what, 18th? Is that correct? What is today?
Today is the 19th.
19th? They're still not done. Yeah. They're still not done.
Well, keep those reports coming in, and if anybody actually gets any photos of homeless camps being destroyed, I'd like to see them.
I wish I knew how to file an environmental
complaint.
A lawsuit under the EPA. These are endangered species.
and they're thrashing their habitat. What about the animals? I mean, forget the people. What about the animals?
Well, perhaps a quick call to the Sierra Club would be in order here.
What about the San Lorenzo Club? Isn't there a San Lorenzo Club?
If there isn't, you could start one.
I volunteer.
There you are. Environmentalists on Pacific Avenue, strumming and drumming on Friday night. Thank you. We've been talking with...
J.P. Freeman.
All right. Well, it's nearly midnight in front of Jack's. We have an officer stopping the vehicle.
And here is a police stop. I think it was on Friday night or Saturday night. And Jack's is, of course, a little cafe, a little kind of a hamburger joint right next to the Nickelodeon on Lincoln Street, Lincoln and Cedar.
The officer's vehicle is parked facing the vehicle in the opposite direction to traffic in the parking lane. And a woman is speaking to the police officer on the passenger side. Officer has a spotlight on the vehicle. And the car is sort of... These are two women in the car, a woman driving.
We're not arguing. I was having a verbal dispute with the woman from that office. I mean, she didn't want us out there, like, talking.
What this involved was, what this involved had to do with a complaint filed by Barbara of the Badass Cafe that she had a verbal interchange with two women who she felt was abusive to her, and so she called the police car. She came and pointed out the car to the police, and I say this because she actually gave me her account after, which I didn't record. Barbara is a co-owner or wife of the owner or co-manager of the Badass Cafe or Badass Coffee. And I've heard, you know, good and bad things about Barbara, and I've had some positive things, some negative things. She's been very nice to me personally recently. You know, I've got no problem with her as an individual. I did play some tape about how a couple of foreign people two foreign women from Colombia with their friends from Sacramento came to her cafe, got really nasty treatment around a $100 bill that was a counterfeit bill that they took responsibility for. They didn't realize it, but she was suspicious it was intentionally given. And anyway, the point of all this is this cop watch that I did was to kind of keep an eye on what's going on. I mean, the police are very visually and visibly exerting a presence. The car is parked. The police car is parked in the wrong lane. It's facing all the parked cars with a spotlight on at midnight. And I'm just sort of asserting the right of the community to watch what's going on. And here you'll hear a little of the police reaction to this, which is not very positive, and it provokes me in turn.
We have a second squad car that's pulled up here.
Do you mind stepping back here, sir? Away from the bus stop.
He's asking me to step back here, even though I'm about 10 feet away.
Further away from the car?
I think I'm an adequate distance away, officer.
What's going on here? It's been your business to step back.
Actually, no, I'm sorry. You're in the public place, so please continue, officer.
You're interfering with our investigation right now. You need to step back.
No, I've stepped back. I'm 10 feet away. I have a right to observe you, officer.
I would prefer not.
Okay, let's take off.
He asks the person who is being interrogated whether she wants me to stay. She says no, so he says to me, take off.
I'm sorry, this is not a matter of her option or your option. I'm a member of the public, and I'm also a reporter. Please continue with your business. How are you doing tonight, officer?
Long night.
Yeah, I hear you. So a second squad car has arrived, parked behind the vehicle.
What we have is one squad car behind the vehicle, the other in front of the vehicle with its lights shined on the vehicle. The officer interrogating a woman in a not an unfriendly or an inappropriate way necessarily, standing, you know, on the sidewalk talking to a woman who's in the passenger side of the vehicle. And I think he then moves over to the driver's side to get more privacy because she's expressed some concern. She wants to be private about it. And I've got no problem with that. If he wants to go into a more private circumstance, whether that's his affair, but for him to try to order people away who are in a public area is not appropriate. And to call over a second police car and a second police officer who stood within 3 feet of me with his arms crossed, his legs akimbo, I wouldn't call it a menacing stance, but it certainly was a sort of a guard-like stance, is inappropriate, particularly considering they know who I am. And to consider me a menace with a tape recorder is an unrealistic assessment at best by the police department. I think that they know this.
And the two officers are blocking the line of audio. It seems to concern a complaint about Badass Coffee, which actually I've heard problems with before. It sounds like a dispute with Barbara, the one of the owners of Badass Coffee, who in the past has had some problems with members of the public. Evening.
Hi.
How's it going? And it's not entirely clear what the stop is about, but it looks consensual, so it's fine. I am currently standing about 2, 4, 6, 8 feet away from the vehicle, or the passenger side of the vehicle. Did take several steps back at the request of the officer. And I'm continuing to just observe what's going on. What's your name, officer?
Hatcher.
Hatcher? Sorry, Officer Hatcher. I should recognize you, but I didn't. Not my name. So the conversation continues between the officer and the passenger of the car. Kind of quiet here on Cedar in front of Jack's Coffee. And we have...
It's actually Jack's Hamburger Joint.
What appears to be an unnecessary second squad car stopped here with an officer standing on the sidewalk observing for no apparent reason. Officer Hatcher, why are you observing the scene yourself? Are you expecting problems either from me or the two women in the vehicle? Or?
I hope not.
Are you expecting any problems?
I hope not.
Well, you obviously are standing here rather than doing something else. I would assume you have some concerns. Otherwise, you wouldn't be wasting your time here, right?
Well, actually, I'm trying to watch him and not talk to you.
Oh, okay. Well, please, feel free to watch him. I don't know if they're endangering the officer. They seem to be it seems to be a consensual stop, but there is a squad car parked the wrong way on Cedar Street with a spotlight on and a flashing blue light from the red and blue lights that are in front of squad cars that aren't usually turned on unless there's some problem being indicated. So the stop goes on. Not much foot traffic. Occasionally people walk by. And it's not clear, again, why Officer Hatcher feels the need to observe the other officer, except that perhaps he's losing his temper with having a cop watcher watching him. That's a possibility, I suppose. And in this situation, one of the passengers who was being interviewed expressed the desire not to have somebody witness it, and I
I can appreciate that. My concern, however, is that this is a stop in a public place. It did concern a matter, to me, of some public interest, because I've heard of problems at Badass Cafe before. And this is an example of taxpayer dollars being spent. We have two squad cars here, two police officers. Doesn't look like any kind of citation is being written. And it's gives the illusion of there being some criminal problem here when, in fact, there is none. And I don't appreciate having armed officers wasting their time and my money doing this kind of stuff. Well, certainly one officer is enough to take a matter of concern and complaint from two police officers, unless the purpose is to intimidate, give the illusion that there is some security problem, when in fact that is exactly not the case. So that's the concern I have, and that's actually the reason I'm wasting my time standing here on the corner next to Jack's and Officer Hatchett here, who continues to stand arms folded, feet spread, next to a running squad car. His car is actually running, spending money on gas. So it looks like he's about to leave. Thank you, officer. Have a good night.
You too.
All right. Hope you spend your time better next time. And the second squad car, I said the first car, 17 with the original officer, drives away, as does the passenger car and the Officer Hatchett's car. And that's it for tonight. That's the report. It's about midnight here in front of Jack's. As I walk back to my vehicle, which I've left parked in the lot behind Bob's Badass Coffee, the two squad cars pause to block traffic on the street between Pacific and Cedar, I guess it's Lincoln, and then move on after briefly chatting. Actually, no traffic was actually blocked. And they did confer briefly under a half moon. And that's it for tonight, folks.
And the point of this is over-policing downtown. And also the fact that when people are choosing to observe and document this, suddenly another patrol car arrives. Officer Hatcher obviously considered enough of an important issue to get out of the car, leave the car running, and stand 3 feet away from me throughout this entire process for no good reason whatsoever, with his arms folded, watching an officer chat with one of the women who was driving. Now, there could have been some other matter. It could have been a warrant out. Could have been an APB for a murderer I didn't know about. Although the officer could have cleared up that issue as well. But apparently, I doubt that really happened. I think that we've seen this over-policing so many times in downtown Santa Cruz, where they call five or six police officers, two or three or four squad cars, for one guy, you know, sitting off to the side, who won't move or something because he's violating the downtown ordinances. You see an attempt to intimidate the community, which is being used as sort of as a matter of police practice in Santa Cruz, not with any malice intended, but just as a new technique. And frankly, it sucks. Luckily, however, my time is up here, and the man who perhaps is making this broadcast possible is here to try to squeeze more money out of you. That's Uncle Dennis.
How about squeezing more money out of you, Robert?
He's going to try to squeeze money out of me, too, which is even worse. So I'm going to we'll see how sweet a squeeze he can do. And I will see you, or actually I won't see you at all, but you might hear me next Sunday, I guess, is the next show, 9:30 in the morning. I sometimes show up early. If you show up early, we can chat. I'll be playing a lot more of the audio from Farmers Market interviews and whatever you've got to say. That's it for Bathrop Spears Broadsides. Come to the Human Rights Organization meeting, the HRO meeting, 2 p.m. on Saturday if you're up for it. I don't know if I'll be there, but there will be some good people there. Taqueria Vallarta at Cathcart and Pacific right outside there. Thanks for being with me on this edition of Bathrop Spears Broadsides.
Of course, is the Dixie Dregs right here on Free Radio Santa Cruz 101.1 www.freakradio.org. As far as I know, we're still on the air. Yeah, we're still on the air. But unfortunately, our uninterruptible power supply got interrupted. We don't have one anymore. I had to take it offline. It was messing up, and so now we are operating without backup. There's no net. Oh, my God, Robert. Are you sure there's enough zeros there? I could add five more. I could. He said I could. I will do it. I can change the and to thousand.
We'll see about that.
Okay. Anyway, Thank you, Robert. Robert has gotten himself out of arrears. Yeah. So those get posted, you know. Robert is doing a little civic duty here, posting the dues report and the minutes of the meeting, last meeting. The minutes of the last meeting say that we're out of money. We have barely enough money to operate until the end of the year. And at that point, we're broke. We're off the air. We can't pay our bills at that point. So that's the situation, folks. Our transmitter UPS died today. That's going to be at least $150 to fix. And we'll just sort of limp along. See you later, Robert.
You take care, Dennis.
Robert will be back Sunday morning at 9:30, in case you want to tune out at that time. Yeah, and we could sell that laptop, and that might take...
You can't. My laptop.
Oh, okay. I thought we could buy some UPS batteries with your laptop proceeds. Anyway. I am Uncle Dennis. This is From the Cream to the Dregs, and we did it backwards today. We did the dregs first, but sometimes we do that. And what the hell? Well, we might play Cream a little later on. Why not? Life is just that way. Stay tuned to Free Radio. Coming up around 8:30, we'll have the Brew of the Week. You get to find out who that is. And then at 9 o'clock, the Earth First Update. I think I have enough news tonight. I got sort of interrupted in the middle of my news gathering, but I think we have plenty of news, at least for a while. We'll struggle through the news there. And then, of course, at 10 o'clock tonight, the Spotlight Group of the Week, entire hour of one group or one artist or something like that, so that you can get a good, solid listen to one blast from the past. So stay tuned for all of that right here on Free Radio Santa Cruz 101.1 FM in the Northern Monterey Bay Area. And, of course, on the Wide Weird Web at www.freakradio.org. Here's some Robin Ford for you. Mm-hmm.